Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Ken Collette. This is the regular meeting of the State Board of Examiners of Environmental Professionals. Today is May 12th, 2022, and we are holding this meeting over Zoom. We'll start with the meeting is being recorded. We'll start with call to order and hear from each member of the board that's in attendance and do a roll call. Again, Ken Collette, Board Chair.
Rob Good, Weston and Sampson.
John Adams, Tetra Tech.
Russ Lorenzo, Arcadis.
Dave Ferrick, Loreo Engineering.
I should say Shepard River Association. Sorry.
Lou Muratori, Red Technologies.
Dan Wolf from Woodard and Kern.
Okay, Deep Staff.
Liz McAuliffe, Remediation. Oop, you're muted.
Selena Thornhill Moody, Remediation.
Thanks. And Board Counsel.
David Wren, Attorney General's Office.
And Lori DiBella from the Attorney General's Office.
And then members of the public.
Dan Nelson from Wood. Thanks.
Okay, so I think we got everybody. Thank you for that. And first order of business is reading and approval of the minutes from our last regular meeting. Is there a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay, thanks, Russ. Is there a second?
Second. Second.
Okay,
thanks, David. And who was that?
David.
Okay.
Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of approving the minutes from last meeting?
Aye.
We're doing roll call.
I don't think we have to if it's unanimous. I guess I could say just any opposed to approving the minutes, the motion to approve the minutes. Any opposed? Okay, seeing none, the motion passes unanimously. And that's one of the aspects of it. If it's not a unanimous approval, then yes, we do have to do a roll call pursuant to the Public Act. Unfinished business in general order. Just some follow-up on complaint 17-102. Course is taken to comply with the requirements of that consent order. I believe we had discussed last meeting and there was a question of if there are extra credits from that course, could they be applied to general CECs? And I think Liz has quoted the consent order directly here. So I guess just trying to get an indication from the board if you know, there's an agreement here that the courses can't be used for CECs if they're taken also to comply with the consent order.
I guess my question is, so let's say he's got 20 credits and he takes an 8 hour or the person takes an 8 hour course, are they asking whether that additional 4 hours can roll over into their general credits? Is that the question they're asking?
Yes, this is Liz. Yes, they had taken 16, they needed 12 to complete the order and the requirement in the order, and they wanted to take 4 and carry those over. And reading the language in the order, I didn't think it gave me the flexibility to allow that, but I wanted to be sure because obviously they've gone to the trouble to take the course.
I would just say if there's extra credits, I don't have a problem with, you know, rolling those credits more than 24 over into their general credits. I mean, they're going to end up taking 48 credits anyway, right?
So the 24 referred to here is their CEC requirement. in the order, it requires them to take 12 to complete the requirements of the order. So it's a total of 36. They took 16 and they wanted to take four of those and count those toward the 24 CECs. Okay. And the problem for me was, and shall not be counted toward compliance with 24. It said courses and credits. And I was, ugh. I wish it wasn't worded that way.
I don't have a problem with it.
If I could chime in on this, I think that, Liz, is the question that that of the, there were two aspects of this in the consent order. One set of courses regarding RSRs, and the other set of the other course requirement was regarding ELURs. Is the question that the respondent took a course to comply with one or the other of the CEC requirements for either of those two topics, but the course has more credits than are specified in the consent order for that particular topic, like ELUR, work, for example.
Yes.
If that's the case, my reading of the language in the consent order is that it's such courses and credits set forth would disqualify the course, even if it had more credits in it than was required in the consent order to comply with that part of the subject matter. That subject matter that was specified in the consent order. So, in other words, if you had to take does someone have the? I have the consent order here somewhere. If I could only figure out how to minimize my screen appropriately without losing all of you, which is going to be tough. Anyone know how to do that?
What are you trying to do, David?
Liz, can you read that section of the consent order that specifies the courses that were required?
I need to get to that document as well.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm trying to do too.
I'm trying to figure out how to do that. I have to minimize you, I think.
Is it posted up on the?
It is on the website. Let's see if I can get there from here.
Aha.
Did you get there?
Yes. All right.
Excellent.
In part B of the consent order, B3, as Liz indicated part of the agenda, in this agenda notation, respondent,
people should be able to see it. Can people see my shared screen? Oh, wait, not yet. Hold on.
Not yet.
Yeah, can you share it, Ken?
Yeah, I will.
There. Okay. I could try doing that, but that would be a leap of faith.
Is it up now?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, so you have a minimum of 12 credit hours. Whoops. Careful. Where are you going?
Gotcha. Sorry.
Yeah. Of continuing education, eight of the required credit hours shall be devoted to the subject of compliance with DEEP's RSRs, and four credit hours shall be devoted to the subject of ELURs. These courses shall be pre-approved. So, in other words, if you had to take one or more courses to make up eight CECs, or if you found a course that had six credit hours for ELURs, I think the answer to the question is none of those courses is eligible for application to the total the educational requirements during, for the renewal period. So if it just said credit hours, you could profitably discuss overage of credit hours and the application of the overage to the goal of meeting the total CEC requirements. But it says such courses and credit hours. Okay. And so I think we're left with, it is, can you scroll down a little bit more, Ken?
Right.
Yeah, it's the last. It's the last. The last sentence. Such courses and credits set forth in this paragraph. So,
in my mind, it's cemented by the word minimum in the first sentence of three, and I think that recognizes that you could end up with a course on this subject matter that's going to have an overage.
Correct.
Yeah.
But and there's nothing wrong with more education, folks. I mean, you know, as opposed to less, but it can't be applied, but it can't be, the course can't be applied to, you know, for other purposes other than discharging the requirements of the consent order. So I think that's where we're at.
It's harsh.
It's a consent order.
It is what it is.
It is.
Yeah. I agree with Dave.
Now that you've convinced me.
Well, thank you for the review. I wanted to make sure.
I think that was a helpful discussion, definitely. So next item on the agenda was we have some meeting requirements to meet going forward. I think one key aspect that's kind of clear is that it will actually be easier to conduct the meetings completely electronically as opposed to trying to do some hybrid approach going forward. So I just think it helps with the notice requirements and having to provide a location that the public can attend, et cetera, if you hold it in a hybrid location. So I think that's how the board, at least that's my intent, will conduct its business. I think it's actually been quite successful. And I think we can also continue to try to improve to the extent we need to, especially if we're going to be continuing to review the application materials, et cetera. And we'll just figure out ways to do that. I think, you know, for a first try, the breakout rooms worked well for that. And I guess the question is going to be about recording certain aspects of the meeting, especially when we're looking at the applications. But I think a couple of key things for it is it does indicate that, and I think this is especially true when we have attendees that are not, you know, regular attendees at these meetings, that the board members should be identifying themselves when they speak. It needs to sort of become a little bit of a habit, I guess, and it seems repetitive, but I think for the record, it's helpful for that to be noted and for the recording too, because when you record, people won't have the benefit of you know, knowing who everybody is. You know, the notice pieces, I think, you know, Liz, Selena, and I will continue to handle. I don't know if we need to do anything substantially different than what we've been doing with the posting of the agendas. So I think, you know, the key piece for members to know is that we'll be recording going forward, and that it's important to identify yourself when speaking for the record. Are there any questions about special act, the public act? I think, you know, it is helpful to have that affirmation that we can continue to do business this way. And it helps with, I think, you know, ensuring we have a full quorum and full participation as well.
Just a question, since as long as I've been on the board, we've only met this way.
Right.
Were previous in-person meetings video recorded?
No, we relied on the minutes only for the in-person meetings.
And I guess thank you. I guess the one other thing was, I don't know if anybody else hears it. There's some stray noise coming through. If you can mute, if you're not actively talking.
Yeah, that would probably be helpful for the recording as well. If people can kind of be in the habit of muting and unmuting, which is always a challenge sometimes. So recognizing I went out of order a little bit, public participation, Mr. Nelson, did you have anything to offer today or?
We do not today.
Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on to our, I'm gonna put the agenda back up. And moving on to the next item on the agenda under new business. So we're in our request for CECs. This has been filed by the LSPA for CECs for a course titled Bedrock Geology of Southern New England. It was a webinar format given June 14th, 2022. Is there a motion?
On this one, I didn't notice an agenda that laid out the specific time allotment. I think it just said 4 hours and with a 30-minute break, where the others, and I'm new to the board, but the other ones I've seen kind of laid out the full time increments on the agenda. And I don't know if that's particularly relevant, but that I'd point that out.
I think we're kind of in the habit now of if that's the only issue that there is, that we could ask them to reissue that. There was an issue that I saw too, and they need to make sure that, I think they're calling for a half an hour break.
Right.
You know, knowing that I think what we're going by is 15 minutes count, but the other 15 minutes would not. So the whole course would have to be, was it a 4 hour course, 4 hours and 15 minutes? I didn't write down how many credits it was.
I think that one was four.
So I guess we could, a motion to approve with the additional information on the outline, time on the outline.
For how many CECs, Dan?
It's four, right?
That's what the request was for, yep.
Let me just mention that on the LSPA's website, the course goes from 10 to 2:15. So maybe you want to amend that motion to 3:75 if they're going to give a half hour break.
Maybe we should talk to them because a lot of people won't take a 3.75 course.
Well, can't we count 15 minutes of the break? I mean, doesn't that, if it goes 10 to 2:15, aren't we just saying that 15 minutes of that break can't be counted? So it does make it a
correct. Break. Correct. That works. Okay, sorry.
Okay. Okay. So we have a motion to approve for four with the additional detailed breakdown of the timing for the course. Is there a second?
Dave Farrick, I'll second.
Who was first on that? Sorry, I'm slow to the wind.
I think we had a motion from Dan and a second from David.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion? Okay, any opposed? Okay, seeing none, the motion passes unanimously. Next item on the agenda, again, request from the LSPA for CECs, course titled Method Update and Tools for Evaluation of PFAS 1-14-dioxane and Inorganics Analytical Data. Again, it's a webinar format and being given today on May 12th, 2022.
Yeah, this one, I just wanted to point out that Dave Farrick is getting in the habit. They're only requesting three CECs.
Okay. That's in the course request itself?
Correct.
Okay. So just to clarify again, then the request is for three CECs. Is there a motion?
I'll move for three, John Adams.
Okay, thanks, John.
Do we have a second?
Okay, thanks, Dan. Is there any further discussion? Okay, any opposed? Okay, seeing none, the motion passes unanimously. And then item number three, we have a request for four CECs from Rutgers University, of course titled Principles of Vapor Intrusion for Regulators, webinar format to be given July 19th, 2022.
I just had one question, Dave Ferrick. I know there's been quite a few courses over the years related to vapor intrusion, and I'm not sure how this board handles circumstances where maybe the overlap is so similar to another course that's already been approved. I don't know if that's a factor in the decision-making or not. I just something I thought of while I was reviewing this.
Welcome to the board, Dave.
We've never really gotten into that because it's too difficult to police.
Got it. Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
It's sort of the same thing with PFAS, you know?
Yeah, it's true.
24 hours of PFAS interrogation or whatever.
Okay, this is Ken Collette. Is there a motion?
I'll move for four, John Adams.
I'll second, so, Rob Good.
Okay, thanks, Rob. Okay, any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, any opposed to the approval for four CECs? Okay, seeing none, the motion passes unanimously. So that concludes the business on the agenda. I wanted at this point in time to turn things over to our board counsel, David Rinn, who has some information to share with us that will be of interest to the board and members of the public that attend regularly. So I'll turn it over to you, David.
All right. Well, folks, you might have suspected, but this is an announcement of my impending retirement. I will be with you next month for the June meeting, but thereafter, my office has determined to turn the council role over to my colleague Laura DiBella, who's with us today, observing, and I can only say. I couldn't ask for a more seamless transition than handing over the reins, as it were, to Lori, with whom I've worked for many years in the environment section of the Attorney General's office. Her knowledge of the kind of areas in which you work and the subject matters that have come to the board is already well established. So. There's no doubt but that she can step right in and deal with whatever crisis you all foment and provide the necessary advice going forward in terms of advising the board. I'll stop there. I haven't prepared my farewell address. But I'll do that next month. I just wanted to give you a heads up that we are in the position of transitioning, and we have ever kept your needs in the forefront of our discussions about how to provide legal services to the board. So you have not been forgotten in any sense.
Thanks, David. Really, really appreciate that. I do appreciate the seamless transition and the attention to making sure that role was transitioned. And welcome to Lori. And Lori, I don't know if you want to say a couple words. Welcome. And you know, we're happy. Liz and I are here to discuss any questions that you might have about how we've been proceeding, et cetera, issues that are in front of us going forward. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, David. Yeah, David and I have worked to hopefully have a seamless transition. And I know I'll have some big shoes to fill, but I feel like I'm ready. And I see some familiar faces from cases over the years. And of course, Ken and Liz. So I feel like I'm up to the challenge. I'm looking forward to whatever you all can throw at me. I'm ready. So and it was nice to be here today and nice to meet everyone. I'm looking forward to working with you all.
Okay, great. Thank you. Just one other item that's not on the agenda. Liz, did you want to just give an update on renewals? This might be helpful for Dan and others to know about. Dan Nelson, excuse me.
Sure, this is Liz. I have 328 current LEPs, and right now, in terms of applications that have come in, I have about 120 today. So still waiting for another 208. Hopefully many of those will be coming in the next 2 weeks. The deadline is June 1st. Obviously some people do apply in June, but you know, the harder deadline is actually July 1st, but we want them all in by June 1st. So please encourage people to renew if they're going to, or let me know if they're not going to. We have our exam today as well, and we have 16 people who decided to sit for that.
Great, thank you for that. Anything further from anyone else? Any questions?
Just what one thing I was just thinking about since you, Dave Ferrick, you brought up that we'll be continuing likely in this format in the board meetings. I was just wondering if there's an opportunity to maybe informally or have one meeting in person to build it. To meet, since I, like some of the other board members, have only participated in a Zoom meeting format. Just something I was thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a great idea. Liz and I and Selena can maybe talk about the best way to do that. I think we are. I guess part of it is I would like to check and double check what our policies right now are regarding meetings in the building. We definitely have the conference room space to accommodate, you know, a public meeting here at 79 Elm Street. So, and, you know, yes, the board has traditionally had one or two, you know, social type gatherings annually, usually a lunch after the December meeting. So I'm perfectly open to that, and maybe doing something more during one of the summer months would be better because we could do it outdoors. So I think we can maybe try to find a good gathering spot, but I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
We can invite everyone to the EPOC SWEP event at the end of the month. Or is it at the brewery in Glastonbury on Doug Road? I think it's the 25th.
Okay. Anything else?
We'll send around the invitation.
That sounds good. Yeah, it's a great idea. Okay. Hearing nothing else, is there a motion to adjourn?
I make a motion to adjourn, Russ Dorenzo.
Dan will second.
Okay, thanks, Dan. Any opposed? Okay, seeing none, motion carries. I appreciate everyone's time today. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.